Well, as we gather this morning, we do so with, I would imagine, the rest of the world in various ways, but certainly across the nation of the UK, as we heard this week, the sad loss at the death of Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II. And so I just want to take some time this morning to acknowledge that, where we'll have a time of reflection, a prayer, and a minute's silence before we continue in our time of worship this morning. Now, whatever we may think of the institution of the royal family, we cannot deny the formidable and remarkable characteristics of Her Majesty the Queen, who faithfully served not only her people, but the nation, but also, more importantly, her and our great God for so long, over 70 years serving, plus many more. And there's been a wealth of material, as I'm sure you can imagine, in leading prayers and reflections. And I'm sure we'll all have our own memories. And maybe we may have met her during our time. But it is the end of an era, and it's a very strange time as we change how we say, not Her Majesty, but His Majesty. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes struggle with that in the sense of His Majesty for me is Christ as King. But still, I recognise as King Charles III. We think of those that are closest to the Queen at this time, especially her family, her sons, her daughters, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, recognising her calling and following of unwavering humility and the sense of humour that she had, and that's certainly been coming out over the last few days. I say we may be able to share memories of her, and when we may have even have met her. Mine, if I may share with you, was back in 1997 when I was in Her Majesty's forces and down at the last ever royal tournament at Earl's Court in London. And we was doing the shows for the royal tournament, and on one particular day was for the Queen herself. She would be in attendance with Prince Philip at the time. And I remember at the end of it, the show went really well and people was lined up and greeting her and what have you. And after we'd done that, I went out round the back to speak to Julie because we was away. And all of a sudden, these motorbikes came flying around with lights flashing. And I was thinking, what the heck's going on? And all of a sudden, whilst I'm talking away on the phone, who should drive past but the Queen? Needless to say, the phone got chucked to the floor. I stood to attention and saluted. And graciously, the Queen, as she went past, looked, smiled and waved at me. She still owes me a new form, but there we go. As Julie's second here going, are you there? Are you there? I hear you. But that is my reflection of Her Majesty. And so as we do think, and as we mourn of her loss, as I'm sure over the coming days of the various services, and of course on Monday the 19th of the state funeral, we join in prayer. So let us come, let us pray together, and then we'll hold a minute's silence. Gracious God, we thank you for the life of your servant Elizabeth, for her faithfulness to your gospel, through her words, example, and humble service. Lord, we remember with gratitude her gentle diplomacy, her wise leadership and guidance in an ever-changing world, and the glimpses into her sense of humour. She has been a gracious and godly queen, and so we commend her back to you. May she rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, we pray too for the royal family as they grieve a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, especially for Charles as he is now king. And we lift up to you all in this country and across the Commonwealth in this time of national mourning and change. Lord, as we have said, would you graciously receive your faithful and loving servant? Would you bless us with your peace? Would you comfort those that grieve and mourn? We ask this now as we pray, today and always, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now hold a minute's silence. Majesty the Queen has died. God save King Charles III. Amen.
Thank you, David. I'll echo David's welcome and welcome you all to Swallowness Baptist Church, whether you're here in the building or whether you're at home watching us on a screen. The same welcome applies to everybody. I've chosen the first two hymns this morning because it's alleged I've read quite a few things about the Queen, as you can imagine, in the last few days, and these were her two favourite hymns. So we're going to start with Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Father God, we pray for people grieving today. Give them peace instead of turmoil, strength to face each new day, comfort where there's nothing but sorrow. Heal their hearts and minds and help us to lay our grief in a safe place at the foot of the cross. For there we'll find grace and the loving arms of Jesus. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. We put our hope in you, because however much this world changes, Lord, you are constant. You never change. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you that we can put our trust in that, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A lovely carol.
That look, I don't know. Good morning, everybody. It's really good to be together for the third time this morning, but good things all often come in threes, don't they? It really is good to spend this time together. I just want to say, Jan, in all seriousness now, that was an amazing opening to our service this morning. I think you'll all agree, won't you? Wonderful hymns. Brilliant singing, music, and a perfect fitting to our gorgeous Queen. And, of course, the last one, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, that is for us all, isn't it? But specifically today for our King Charles III, who is going to start on a very different path in his life. So thanks very much for that. And, of course, you guys at the back pressing the buttons, we do appreciate what you do as well. So we have a guest speaker this morning, John Claydon, who's going to be coming up in a few minutes, and we look forward to what you have to say, and thank you for coming. Just a few notices now for next week. Tomorrow the ladies will be meeting again after a break for the summer, and they're having lunch down here at 1 o'clock. And on Tuesday, Mums and Tots will be starting up again down here at 10. Next Sunday, the 18th, it's our church members' meeting at 12 o'clock after the morning service. So please do attend. We have a few things that we need to discuss next week. And on Sunday the 25th, we have a dedication service. Now, we're going to have the communion on this Sunday, on the 25th, instead of next week, just to make the service a little bit more special. So Sunday the 25th, a dedication service and communion. I've got a few details now about forthcoming events, and the first one is the Harvest Festival weekend, which is not very far away. It's the 1st and the 2nd of October. On the 1st of October, we're going to have a coffee morning down here at church. There'll be a book stall, a cake stall, and we're going to do a food sale as well. Now, David's going to put more information about this in the email tomorrow. Basically what we're asking for is donations of food, tins, packets, that kind of stuff. I've made a list. I know it looks long, and it's a bit small. But if anyone's not sure, there's quite a varied list here of things that we would like donated, please. If you can start bringing it from next week, then we can store it at the back, and then we'll take it from there. Any money that is donated or raised on this event will go to a BMS Harvest Appeal. So that's on the 1st of October. The 2nd of October is our Harvest Festival service, and we thought it would be really nice to have a bring and share at the end of that, just to make the weekend a bit more special. So if you could put that in your diary, and I'll keep reminding you, of course. And that's happening on the first weekend in October. I have a card here from Margaret, who's been recently bereaved, bless her, and it's a card of thanks. So if you'd just like to read it at the back on your way out, I'll leave it up there after the service. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. John will come up in a minute, don't worry. Let's just pray for the kids as they go out. Julie, are you going with them? You'll need more prayers then. Lord, we just give you thanks this day for our children, Lord. Would you just bless them? Would you just help them to grow in spirit and in truth through you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit? We just thank you for them, Lord. May they continue, learn and develop and come to know you more as they grow in you and as they overflow in life. We ask this in your magnificent name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Off you go. Behave, Julie. Just before John comes up, John, Reverend Dr. John Clayden, former Regional Minister of Northern Baptist Association, and many other things I'm sure you may share. Our paths crossed maybe 5-6 years ago when I was studying theology in Manchester, and part of that is you go on a missional field trip, and we did that to Lithuania. It seems an age ago, but almost like yesterday. And I'm sure we could again share many stories, but one particular one I think that sticks out for me was, if any of you know much about Lithuania, and obviously its previous occupancy with its neighbouring states and what have you, the difficulty of being able to share evangelistically, certainly in public. And I remember sat in John's front room, the team of us, getting a heads up and a brief before we go, and kind of struggled with that. Like, you can't really share faith openly. And the biggest story I think that sticks out for me was in a hotel one morning, and me being me, naturally, a waitress come up, "Morning, how are you?" "What business is that is yours? Why do you ask?" "I'm really sorry, just asking how you are. I don't mean to cause any offence." Right, and it was very frosty. I looked at you, John, staringly into your eyes, like, "Help." Anyway, we went off, and cut a long story short, that evening at a church, John was given a Bible, wasn't you? And in Lithuanian and English, by a good friend, and said, "You know, if you can use it, then please do give it to somebody." And we had to stay in that hotel that night to move on the next morning, and who should be there next morning serving on us but our lovely waitress? I remained quiet, and I think I mumbled like "good morning," she said "morning" back, and I just saw John go like this and thinking, "What's he doing?" And all of a sudden out came this Bible and across to her, and I'm just almost shriveling inside thinking, "What's going to happen here?" "We'd like to give you this as a gift, God's word." She took it, opened it, shut it quickly, held it to her chest with a massive smile upon her face, and she went, "This is for me. Thank you so much. That is wonderful." And literally almost floated away. Breathed a sigh of relief, and we continued with our trip, did we not? But it was amazing. John, come on up. And as you do, let me just pray with you and for you as you bring us God's words. It's great that you be here with us today. But Lord, we just thank you for John. Lord, we just pray that you guide him, you fill him with power, Holy Spirit, this morning. May you anoint him, and may his words just flow that are your words as they strike us, Lord. May we take today from what it is you want to say to us through him. We thank you, and we just bless this in your name for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to renew friendship with David. Those days in Lithuania were a great encouragement to us in lots of ways. And I remember another story. I won't go into the story too much, but where we sat having a conversation with a young lady in a hotel foyer because of a little incident involving cars. And I won't go any further into that. But having dealt with the forms, David asked the lady if she had any faith, and she said she didn't. But her parents were Roman Catholics, and she went to a Roman Catholic school. And a bit later, David said, "Do you mind if I pray with you?" And I thought that's a bit forward. But there, David, and I was there too, and David prayed for her. And you don't know, do you? You don't know what seeds you sow into the lives of people. Because I used to travel a lot by train, I sometimes, this is all off script, so wave when you've had enough. No, stop waving now. Because I used to travel a lot by train, because living in Durham and having to get to places like Didcot and Manchester, it was always easy to go by train. I always looked for opportunities to talk to people. And if I got a taxi, I always felt a bit posh, really, because I was brought up not to pay any money on taxis. You can walk, lad, you know. And I would get a taxi. And if I get a taxi, I make a point of sitting in the front and talking to the driver. You don't know what sort of day they've had, do you? And sometimes, you know, I just say, how long have you been on shift? Or, you know, how's it going today? Simple, and a conversation may develop. I wish I could tell you lots of stories like this. I can't. But one occasion, getting a taxi from Manchester to the college in Manchester, to Manchester Piccadilly, a young to me, but driver was a Muslim. And he asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a Baptist minister. And he said, is that like a vicar? I said, well, I've only got 15 minutes. I said, yeah, if you like. Thereafter, he called me father all the way. And I cut it short, but the conversation was such, there was actually quite a bit of banter in the conversation, but also faith and meaning. And at some point, he said, would you pray for me? Now, because we'd, you know, in the few minutes we'd had a bit of banter, which is, you know, interesting, isn't it? All you think about certain people. And so I said, do you want me to pray for you now or later? And he said, now. And I said, in that case, I'll close my eyes, but you keep yours open because you're driving. So I prayed for him. And when I got to the end of that prayer, I began, we pray. But at the end, I knew I was going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I had to switch to I pray. But you just hope that you sow some seeds. And we're a people of hope, aren't we? Yes. We're a people of joy, aren't we? Yes. And today, at the end of this week, a week in which, if you like, we get two for the price of one, we get a new prime minister and a new king, and a virtually new cabinet. A week that's been overshadowed with sorrow, and yet deep thanksgiving. And a week in which, for us as Christian people, we can be reminded of the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. Back in the summer, my wife and I discovered the crown, not the one the queen or the king wears, but the television program on Netflix. It was accidentally discovered by us. We don't have Netflix, but we bought the box set and we've watched it, and it's been fascinating. And I realise it's, you know, it's not necessarily 100% accurate, but the conversation that was portrayed of the Queen having with Billy Graham was insightful, and a reminder to us of the faith that she had. Let's turn to the scriptures as we think about joy today. And from Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read from hello. Not working. Tell you what. Oh, okay. So I'll read it from the screen. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And I'm not near enough. Oh, yes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Finally, brothers, we slipped a bit there. Can we go back a slide? Yeah. Back a slide. Okay, sorry, my apologies. Yeah, okay, forward a slide. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the final slide of the reading, if I trust you to do this, is that okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace be with you.
Amen.
Amen, indeed.
Amen.
So how many of you remember that song? I've got that joy, 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 joy. Where? That crazy bunch, aren't they, David? Yeah. I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. You know, sometimes there are those Christians who have it so deep in your heart, you can't see it. It's meant to be funny. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. Elizabeth, the name, means God is my oath. How apt is that? God is my oath. Charles means free man. I wonder what that would mean. God is my oath. She kept her oath. Her faith was clear and clearly at the heart of who she was and what she did. And many saw in her the fruit of the Spirit. Well, last week you were talking about love, weren't you? Is that right? As you began to explore the fruit of the Spirit. And next week you can have some peace. How nice. But today is joy. The first three fruit of the Spirit may, and this is only one interpretation, the first fruit, three, may be seen as to relate directly to our relationship with God. For someone has said that the Christians' chief love is God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is the greatest commandment. The Christian's joy is rooted in God, not in the circumstances that we find ourselves, but in the reality of the one in whom we trust. And the Christian's peace comes from God as we are reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we explore this fruit, the theme of joy, we shall draw from across the Scriptures. Joy is a key aspect in the revelation of God's kingdom. Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The joy that's spoken about, in a quote here from a kind of dictionary of Greek words. It is joy grounded in a conscious relationship to God. We see joy often in the Scriptures. It bubbles out in worship. We see it in the Psalms. We see it as a result of people's knowledge and focus on God. And it's a driver, if you like, in our discipleship and our mission. If you were to look, and you may want to do this later, but if you look at the Gospel of Luke, there's a strong emphasis on joy. There's joy at the Saviour's birth. There's a good news of great joy announced by the angels. There are those who receive the word, as in the parable of the sower, with joy. The 72 who are sent out by Jesus return with joy. Jesus prays full of joy. There's joy at the sinners who repent. The good shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders joyfully. There was joy in the upper room when Jesus came and showed them his hands and his feet, having been raised from the dead. And when the disciples returned to Jerusalem, having been with Jesus and seen him ascend, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The gospel of joy. The letter to the Philippians is a letter that has a strong emphasis upon joy, the joy of discipleship and contentment. Rejoice again, says Paul. Sorry, rejoice, says Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And we have so much, even in our sadnesses and sorrowful times, even in the challenges of life, even in the most difficult and deepest place, there is still things to rejoice over. That God's love never fails. That the redeeming love of Jesus continues to reach out to us. That the presence of the Holy Spirit is there for us. That there is the hope of glory. And today we rejoice in being together in worship, the fellowship of worship. But as we explore this theme, a few points to make. If I can. Yeah. Our joy is from the Lord. Joy is from the Lord. It's a gift of God. It comes from the Lord himself. He is the bringer and the giver of joy. He is the source of true joy. Now, the one thing about today and the cancellation of football matches yesterday is that nobody's too depressed. You know, living in County Durham, I used to watch Sunderland from time to time. And, sorry?
Always depressed.
Always depressed. So depressed. I used to think that Paul, the apostle, was a Sunderland supporter because he wrote about sharing in the fellowship of suffering. Translate that to whatever team you like. But there are those who have been happy about results had they played yesterday, maybe even joyful. But our true joy is not in the success of Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, Sunderland, Leeds, anybody else. There are other sides, Rotherham, wherever. But it's rooted in God, in who he is and what he gives. In fact, it's part of the splendour of his presence. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 says, "Splendour and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his dwelling place." Isn't that lovely? Actually, in the presence of God, there is joy. Psalm 16, I don't have all these on the screen. Verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Now, though we are not today caught up in the heavenly presence of God, he is present with us. And as we focus upon him, we draw on his love. We receive his joy. We know his peace. The angel of the Lord said to them, the shepherds on the hillside, "Don't be afraid. I bring you joy." Good news of great joy. The message of heaven, the message that comes from heaven, the message that comes from the side of the Father comes with great joy. Jesus said, "Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." It's the engagement with the joy giver that brings to us joy. David, when he'd been caught out very seriously, when the king, David, had seduced, or worse, Uriah's wife, and arranged for the demise of Uriah at the front line, came and made his confession to God and said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, the joy of knowing forgiveness." Jesus said, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, why? So that your joy may be complete by remaining in Christ, by remaining in fellowship with Christ, abiding in him, remaining in fellowship with the joy giver, the Lord of joy." Joy comes from the Lord. He is the joy giver. And so we have joy in the Lord, delight in the Lord. Another way of talking about joy is simply to delight in God and to hold that precious. Now, I was brought up in a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I firmly believe in believer's baptism, okay? But, you know, I can see joy when people are confirmed in the Church of England. Let me share something that happened. It's quite personal because it involves my grandchildren. My son-in-law is an Anglican vicar. And last week, Tuesday night, my oldest two grandchildren, Jonathan and Abigail, both affirmed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as required to do, and were confirmed. And Mark, as vicar, was presenting them to the bishop. I have to say to you, the beam on his face was like wider than his face, you know. It was, he beamed from ear to ear and beyond, because he delighted in two things. He delighted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he delighted to see Abigail and Jonathan affirm their faith. And Mark, my son-in-law himself, was actually brought up in a Baptist church and was baptized as a believer. Something went wrong somewhere. But, you know, he delighted in that. He delighted in them in that moment. And joy is about delighting in God. Beautiful in its loftiness is Jerusalem, Psalm 48. The joy of the whole world, delighting in the place and the city of God, is spoken about by the psalmist. Jesus told a story about a man who found some treasure. Yesterday we were walking out near Beale by the river Aire, and there were some guys in the fields there with their metal detectors. And they, every now and then you see someone get a spade and they probably find a spoon or something. Who knows? But if they find real treasure, they will act upon it. There will be delight. Jesus says the man who found the treasure was filled with joy. And because of his joy, he went and not only told, you know, his friends, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Because he delighted in it. His joy was there. He found something precious. And for us, our joy comes from finding Jesus, who gave everything for us. Now, somebody prayed this morning and said about, talked about Jesus stretching out his arm to show us his love. That is something for us to delight in. That the love of Jesus has no bounds and reaches out to you and me. And my friends, brothers and sisters, he knows the deepest thoughts of our hearts. He knows where we have been wayward. He knows when we have been unbelieving. And yet he still loves us. And we can delight in that. We can rejoice in that. Our joy can be in the Jesus who loves us. Rejoice in the Lord. Jesus, here's a favorite verse from one of the old hymns we don't sing very often. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men and women, from the best bliss this earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. Knowing him brings joy. Peter said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Our joy is in the Lord, who is the joy giver. And this joy provides something of a foundation for discipleship. It undergirds discipleship. That which we delight in shapes our attitudes and our words and our actions. The man who found the treasure went and did something about it. He sold a field, or sold all he had rather, and bought the field. So that which we delight in does shape our actions and our attitudes. And it's shown in the way that we live together is as God's people. When the Apostle John in old age was writing in his letters, 1 John, he says, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he goes on, I'll miss the next bit for a moment, he goes on to talk about what we believe and what we do and how we love and live together as God's people. And here he says, we write this to make our joy collectively complete. Our joy becomes a foundation for our discipleship, which is worked out in worship, it's worked out in fellowship, it's worked out in obedience. Worship is intensely personal, isn't it? It is, don't worry. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. It's intensely personal, but it's also very clearly corporate. We sang it together, didn't we? The Lord is my shepherd. I love Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. It begins very personally, it ends calling the whole creation to declare the glory of God, to worship God, heavens as well. See, it's both personal and corporate. And in that, there is joy. Be joyful at your festivals. So when you've got one coming up, haven't you? You've got celebration times coming up. Be joyful at your festival, Deuteronomy chapter 16. And as you celebrate, care. When Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, send some to those who have nothing prepared. In your celebrations, in your worship, care for those who have less. And have joy in the commands of God. If you do read through Psalm 119 in one sitting, congratulations. But you can't help but notice how much the writer loves the word of God, delights in it. In Psalm 19, 100 Psalms earlier, we read, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And so there is joy in obedience, in worship, in fellowship, and in obedience. These are expressions of our discipleship. Just as much as our daily quiet time, just as much as saying grace, just as much as turning up on Sunday. Our corporate worship, our fellowship, and our lives of obedience are both driven by joy, but they're rewarded by joy too. Let's move on. It kind of naturally flows that there is joy revealed in a life well lived. The death of the Queen perhaps causes us all to reflect in all sorts of ways. Grief touches us all in different ways. And as I came here this morning on the radio, I was hearing how the Queen's passing has made people remember the times they met the Queen. I've never personally met the Queen. I've seen her twice. The second time, it was preceded by a streaker. I won't tell you about that. Poor guy was wrestled to the ground and left there for a while. But also memories of grief and memories of family members, because they're all stirred and mixed up together. 70 years as a monarch is an amazing thing. But most of us in this room are old enough to remember that it's not always been easy for the lass. Sorry, I shouldn't call her that, should I? It wasn't always easy. There was that annus horribilis moment or year and other things. And there were times when she wasn't always as popular as the nation's favourite granny that she became. You know, it's not always been a bed of roses. But perhaps we can say that was a life well lived, a life of service, a life of faith. There's a little Yorkshire joke. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Kind of probably given it away now. This works easier outside the area. About the gentleman whose wife had died. And he went to the stonemason about a tombstone. And he didn't know what to have written. So he told the stonemason, just write, she was thine. She was thine. You heard this? She can tell you now. Anyway, he went back and there it says, you know, written. And the poor old fellow said, you've missed the E off. Oh, said the stonemason, don't worry, come back in a couple of weeks and I'll put it back on. I'll put it on. So I went back a couple of weeks later, and there it was. There was the E. E, she was thin.
It's better in the Yorkshire accent. E, she was thin.
Thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't dare. Why are you bloody lad? Sorry. A life well lived. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, but we must let it grow. I'm not a great gardener, but apparently, you know, if you want fruit, you have to look after the plant, don't you? My wife planted our first tomato plant. We'd never had tomatoes before, partly because I don't like them. I have to like them now. And partly because we've never kind of worked in our garden. But she has nurtured that plant, and we've had loads of tomatoes, and they're okay. But you have to let the fruit grow. Be joyful in hope. Joy that is demonstrated in life, in hope, in the midst of affliction, supported by prayer, because we are directly connected to God. So even in the midst of calamity and struggle, our joy in God can shine through. Habakkuk, verse 17 of chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Our strength is in him, so our joy can still be found. The Lord is my strength, said the psalmist, and my shield. My heart trusts in him. A life well lived looks to Jesus always and knows his joy. And looks beyond these years that we spend on this earth. There is joy, joy eternal. When Jesus told the parable of the talents, I think it is, he says at the end, enter into the joy of your master. Now, if you're looking at the NIV, it says enter into the happiness of your master. But the word is joy in Greek, I can assure you. And the New American Standard Version has enter into the joy of your master. The Authorized Version, enter into the joy of your Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee, Authorized Version, ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. We are to be presented before the glorious presence of God without fault and with great joy. We look forward to a banquet, the banquet of the Lamb, a time of joy and celebration. Write this, said the angel, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those, because there is joy in the presence of God. Joy is from the Lord, the joy giver. We rejoice in the Lord. We delight in him and find joy in him. Joy becomes a foundation of our discipleship, but also is outworked in a life that's lived well. May the God of hope fill you and me with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I think that's meant a lot to us all today, to find joy in all things. It's good to be reminded. Thank you. The Queen, at 21, made a speech, and she devoted her life to the service of the people. So I'm just going to say a little prayer, but this I'm going to devote my life to God and this church this morning. So if you want to echo that prayer at the end, join in with the Amen. I declare that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service, God, and that of our church and our church family. In the words of the final song, it says, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Amen. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.